for people.
I want to finish with Joseph Tyrone, the resident of Staten Island, realtor, founder of the Oakwood Beach Buyout Committee, a community of people, homeowners, and most of whom want to take the governor up on his suggestion that they be bought out and move. Do you think that people who move into risky areas ought to have to pay the cost, and that the government, state, federal, or local should not be taxed in order to keep them safe?
Interesting question. I mean, one of the reactions of the people who are affected by this particular storm is that they didn't really recognize their vulnerability in terms of how dangerous the area was, in terms of the potential for a storm like Sandy to actually happen. So, if you ask the residents of the area, the answer would definitely be no, because they almost feel like they're victims because they didn't know what the real risks were. But in terms of having them share the cost at this juncture for this particular community, they're not looking to do that. They're looking to get bought out.
I'm thinking of the future.
But in the future, I think there has to be some type of cost sharing, I would imagine. But the reality is because FEMA provides the insurance, that they're the ones who are really bearing the cost of this repetitive flooding. So therefore, the lion's share has to come from the federal government, because ultimately they're the ones who are saving tax dollars for citizens.
Okay.
By enacting programs such as the one that the governor has suggested.
And FEMA, of course, is funded by taxpayers all over the country, including those who do not live in areas of great risk, although Howard Marlow is right that a lot of people do live near the coast at this time. Thank you all very much. Joseph Tyrone on Staten Island. I know some of the people in your community died as a result of Superstorm Sandy, and our sympathies go out to them. Thank you for being with us. Thanks to Thomas Kaplan in Albany for the New York Times, Senator Joe Addabbo of the 15th District in Queens, New York, Robert Young with the Program for the Study of Developed Shorelines, and Howard Marlow, who represents coastal communities across the United States in Washington. Great to have all of you on our show. After a bad review for his Tesla Model S electric car, Elon Musk has accused a veteran reporter for the New York Times of changing facts to suit his opinions. The Times has responded with detailed logs of a winter drive from Washington to Boston. Musk has replied with logs of his own. There is a lot at stake for him and for his company and for electric transportation, as we'll hear in a moment on To the Point.
Make a donation of just a dollar a day and you can join one of our exciting and exclusive angel clubs. Choose from music, books, DVDs, or cookbooks delivered right to your front door. Learn more and join now at kcrw.com/join.
Norman Olney back with Reporter's Notebook on To the Point. After months of best car awards and glowing reviews of the Tesla Model S luxury electric car, the New York Times' John Broder published a dissenting opinion. Tesla CEO Elon Musk then accused Broder of deliberate fabrications and trying to stall the car out on purpose. Technology writer Will Oramus has been following the dispute for Slate.com. It's good to have you on our program.
Thanks for having me.
We have to have time to go piece by piece as they have exchanged their accusations. But roughly speaking, what did John Broder say about the Tesla? What happened when he tried to drive it from Washington to Boston?
Broder took the Tesla Model S from Washington to Boston, or he intended to anyway, to test out the new supercharger network. This is Tesla's new network of high-speed charging stations that it's just starting to build. There are only two of them on the East Coast right now, but they're placed in such a way that it should be possible to make the trip from Washington, D.C. to Boston with just those two stops. That's what Broder tried to do. It didn't go well.
In what respect?
Well, after the first supercharger stop, he noticed that the mileage gauge was reading lower than he thought it should be. That was apparently partly because of the cold weather. An electric car's battery has a lower range when it's chilly outside. He didn't know that going in. And so he started trying to conserve. He started slowing down. turned down the heat. I was shivering. And still, for all those efforts, he ended up, in the end, stalling out, not making it to his destination after several long stops to try to charge the car.
Okay. Now, Elon Musk has accused him of intentionally trying to stall the car, of driving around in circles, even though he was close to the supercharger at the time, and basically distorting the facts in order to demonstrate what were preconceived opinions. How was Musk able to keep a log on what it was that Broder was doing?
Tesla's cars actually keep remarkably detailed logs of all sorts of data. They log your speed at any given time. They log where you are on the map. They log the condition of the battery at any given time. So Musk, after Broder's scathing review, went in, looked at the data, and said, "Hey, he's lying. This isn't what really happened." And so he came out and publicly released the data, basically called Broder a liar, said, "Look, when you said you were on cruise control at 54, you were actually going more like 60. When you said you charged the car for 57 minutes, I see that you only charged it for 48. And worst of all, you never gave the car the charge that it really needed to make it to your destination. You never gave it a full charge all along the way."
Now, what's the New York Times said in response?
Well, basically, he said, "Look, I was just following your people's advice." Broder said that he made about a dozen calls throughout the trip to Tesla representatives. One was a spokeswoman, one was the chief technical officer. And he became sort of increasingly concerned, by his account, as it looked like he wasn't going to make it where he was trying to go. And they tried to help him through. They told him, "Well, charge it this much now." And then they, you know, he was at a charger and he had been there for an hour. And they said, "Okay, you know, we can see from our readings, you're probably fine. Go ahead." So from Broder's perspective, he was just trying to follow instructions and everything went wrong. Now, it's pretty clear that Broder could have done a better job managing the car's range. But the question of whether he really, you know, intentionally, you know, messed up the handling of this vehicle, that seems unlikely to me. And Broder's refutation of that is fairly convincing.
He is a well-regarded reporter and has been for a long time. But there's a lot at stake for Elon Musk.
That's absolutely right. Tesla is an amazing company. The Model S is an incredible car. I've had the chance to drive it for a short distance. And it has won all sorts of Car of the Year awards, as you mentioned. But one of the big things that people still worry about when you talk about buying an electric car, not only is it expensive, but it's hard to make a road trip. You know, unlike a gasoline-powered vehicle, it takes a long time to charge an electric car battery, and there aren't charging stations all over the country yet. Musk is trying to solve that problem. He's very proud of Tesla's supercharger network. He thinks, ultimately, driving an electric car on a road trip should be just about as easy as it is in a gas-powered car. Broder's review called all that into question. And I think where Musk does have a point is that Broder's story didn't have a whole lot of context. It didn't acknowledge, hey, this is the early stages. You know, other people have made the same trip with no problems. It really just made it seem like road trips just stink in this car.
Well, the car has gotten a lot of rave reviews, of course, including the one you just gave us, although for a shorter amount of time. Has anybody else checked out the supercharger network that Broder was trying to check and see if it works for them?
Yeah, they have. And in fact, one of the points that's been overlooked a lot here is that the Times itself has tried out the superchargers on the West Coast, thought they worked just fine, and gave them a positive review earlier this year. So it might have been last year. So that both sort of undermines the idea that they don't work, but at the same time undermines Musk's claims that the Times is really out to get Tesla.
Broder is quoted by Musk as saying, "The state of the electric car is dismal, the victim of hyped expectations, technological flops, high costs, and a hostile political climate." Does that provide some support for Musk, saying that Broder was preconditioned to not like the car?
Well, Musk and a lot of Tesla's fans believe that it does. They really believe this guy Broder is just an electric car hater. And it's true that, you know, there are people, it's not true about Broder that I know, but there are a lot of people out there who are looking for any excuse to poo-poo the potential of the electric car. They think that Broder is one of those. I think that's pretty unlikely. That article that Musk was referring to is actually if you read the whole thing, it's a fairly balanced account. Broder was, you know, his analysis was that the electric car is, you know, not living up to the hype at this point. But he also said, hey, there are a lot of good reasons for that. And who's to say that it won't live up to the hype sometime in the future? So it wasn't the kind of hit piece that, that people have made it out to be.
You indicated earlier that the cold weather has been a problem for electric cars.
That's right. And I think, it, you know, both here, both Tesla and Broder, it seems, underestimated the extent to which, in this case, the cold weather might affect this particular car's performance. But again, I think the bigger issue was not the cold weather. It was the fact that Broder didn't stop to charge the car for as long as he should have in order to make sure that he could make this trip without problems. And whose fault that is unclear. Broder says it's Tesla's fault. Tesla says it's Broder's fault. But either way, it does make it clear that you need to do some advanced planning still if you want to take a road trip in an electric car, especially when it's cold outside.
Okay. Will Oramus, a story that will have a long time before it is resolved. Good to have you on our program. Thanks a lot for joining us.
I enjoyed it. Thanks.
Blogs at slate.com. Producers of To the Point are Francis Anderton, Christian Bordahl, Katie Cooper, Evan George, Anna Scott, and Caitlin Chamberg. Our technical director is Mike Newport. Managing producer, Sonia Geis. Thanks also to the John Coltrane family. I'm Warren Olney. Join us again for To the Point, produced live and podcast as a co-production of KCRW Santa Monica and Public Radio International.
Public Radio.